Chapter number 13 is where we'll be this evening, Hebrews in chapter number 13, and we're just continuing on in our study of the role of authority, and we'll begin reading in verse number 7, and it's important that we would understand the role of authority and then that we would be understanding our place in it. And so we started this a couple weeks ago, and we'll kind of do a little bit of refresher and kind of pick up. We got through point one, and then we have two and three. So we won't take all the night to remind ourselves of point one, but do want to kind of bring it back to our memory. VBS week was a long week, and many things could be forgotten. So here we are, Hebrews 13. Begin reading with me, follow along with me in verse number 7. Verse number 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, wherefore they have no right to eat that to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for the sin and the burned offering for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. So we've continued on in this study of authority and the role of authority in our lives. And again, I'm not going to take time to try to get all of this into us tonight, but we understand that these verses are connected. You say they seem kind of strange verses in the middle part between verse 7 and verse number 17, verses 8 through verse number 16 seem to be somewhat disconnected, but these verses teach us this importance of submitting to those who have the rule over you, or having the main topic of those which rule over you, as the submission of the people was in the sacrifices that were being made, and an acknowledgement of their uncleanness and their sin, and that sacrifice being taken outside the gate and then offered up to God was a reality under the law. Jesus Christ also was made subject unto his authority. He made himself who knew no sin to be subject under authority. You and I must learn to be subject under the authorities that God has placed unto us as well. And so it's a picture that is being offered. The point of what is being said, though, is to follow the obedience of those who have rule and those who have been placed in authority over us. And so we see the need very much of doing so in the passage that is set before us. And we must consider, the Bible says, that the end of their conversation. What is the direction, we said, of their life? When we're talking about the end of their conversation, and where are they going? So we, number one, need to have leaders that are going in the right direction. That's important. And it's important for a church. And when a leader isn't going in the right direction, the church needs to take responsibility for that. They certainly do. But at the same time, when we have a leader that is going in the right direction, they need followed. That would be at the church level, which is being very much addressed in the context of this passage of Scripture. But it's also true of your home. It's also true of your home. It's true of your dad. Amen. It's true of your husband. And so, listen, we also understand this, that you say, well, my husband isn't leading in the direction that he should, and he isn't doing right, and my dad isn't doing right. Well, then we have other scripture we can fall back on. All right? Some kids were looking at their dad. All right? Amen. Amen. See how rebellious kids are and look at their father? No, amen. But listen, no, come on. We have other scripture to fall back on. Wives, like 1 Peter in chapter number 3. And you're to show an ungodly husband out of your chaste conversation. Because why? Because your submission is not necessarily unto the husband. Your submission is as unto the Lord. And you can live a submitted life without a husband that is submitted to the Lord. You can still submit yourself unto the Lord, and you still have to give an account unto the Lord for how you act and how you live and what you do. You have to give an account of yourself unto the Lord. So his ungodliness can, while it should be there, and while he should be a man of God, listen to me, it doesn't give anyone excuse. Children are to obey their parents. It doesn't say, children, obey your parents because your parents are awesome and they're always going to give you what you want and they're going to be just perfect people. No. It gives the same admonition of Ephesians chapter 5. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You must give an account of yourself before God as well. And we're going to talk about this before we leave tonight, but we need to understand this. You say, so that authority just gets to get off scot-free? No. Our text addresses that authority is going to give an account before God as well. They're operating under his authority. And you say, well, they're misusing their authority, and that very well might be, and that sadly takes place far too often, that authority abuses that which it has of God. Did you hear me? Of God. They abuse the authority that God allows them to have. But understand with me, there will be a day when they will give an account. All authority will give an account. You say, why are they going to have to give account? Because they don't have authority of themselves. We already talked about that. Their authority is of God. There is no powers that be that are not of God. There is no authority in this earth at any level that is not of God. My submission is to be unto the Lord and unto God. And that means that I should be able to submit unto God even when authorities do not. I can still submit myself unto the Lord. And so the purpose of this is to help us to understand the role of authority in our lives and the working of authority in our lives. And so we are looking at it in three different ways. The authority has three primary responsibilities. And authority has responsibilities that they owe to those whom are under them. First, authority gives a direction for our paths. That's what we looked at a couple weeks ago. Authority is to give direction for our paths. And we look at the verse number 7 where it says that you are to remember them which have rule over you. Those who have been placed in a place of leadership, of ruling, of one who would be in charge. You are to obey them that have rule over you, and it is an authoritative role, and it is our nature, our human nature, that is adverse to an authoritative role. We want to fight. I'm very clear to say, listen, I'm not trying to fight the governor, but he did make an exemption for religious exemptions. I might be taking a religious exemption, but I didn't take it of myself. He gave it. Amen? He gave that religious exemption. So we are going to look at what areas do we need to do to follow that exemption. But understand, he is going to stand before God and give an account of himself one day. He is. And just as I'm going to stand before God and give an account of myself for one day of my submission unto the Lord, so is he going to give account. But there is a role. God raises up leaders, and you say, I wish he wouldn't have raised this one up. Consider the fact that we probably got the one we deserve, and he could have given us a worse one. I know that's how it couldn't be. No, it could be. It very much could be that he could have given us somebody worse to rule over us. And if you don't believe that, go ahead and read some history books, like Fox's Book of Martyrs. Go, honestly, go back and read some history books. We actually have it pretty good. Nobody's told you you can't go and share the gospel with anybody yet. Nobody's putting a muzzle over my mouth where I can't preach as of yet. We have it pretty good. Nobody's dictating to me what I have to believe. I can still operate under my freedom of conscience today, friend, and so can you. We don't take advantage of it like we should. We don't, but I'm telling you, these are those who have rule over us, and we need to obey them that have rule over us, and we can understand this, that when, especially when you say, if somebody's trying to lead me toward godliness, somebody's trying to influence me towards godliness and towards the glory of God and to glorify God in my life, then listen, even more so. Even more so, I ought to try to find myself in a place of subjection, in a place of humility, and in a place of honoring those who are trying to lead me toward the one I'm supposed to be led to begin with. That's where Paul was. That's why Paul, I think, was so honored, because he very much lived a life that said, listen, follow me as I follow Christ. And there is that to be lifted up there. There's that to be honored there, and there should be respect of authorities that will lead us toward the Lord. Those who will cast a vision of direction toward the Lord. And God wants His people to follow Him. And when we have leaders, when you have a mom and dad that are going to teach you to follow Christ, I'm telling you, you better cherish that. You better cherish that. I'm telling you, I think it'd be good for any teenager to go walk the walk Kensington Avenue in Philadelphia. I'm telling you, and then tell me how horrible your life is at home. Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, it'd be do you good to go down to get a little bit scared straight to be reminded about how well you actually have it, because your parents make you go to church and your parents make you do this, and your parents just are always dragging you to church. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They're encouraging you to godliness. They're encouraging you to godliness. And I'm telling you, if we get to a point where we're so pious and arrogant and proud that we want to look down our nose at people that would encourage us to godliness, I'm telling you, we're a rebellious lot. And of our nature, we are rebellious. And we ought to be very thankful when there's someone that is encouraging us towards godliness and leadership that would encourage us towards godliness. And many times people want to take a position that they know better. Teenagers are good. Like, what does mom and dad know? Yeah, what do they know? But I'm telling you, we can look at teenagers and we can, we can just see all the rebellion in the world. But I'm telling you, us adults are really good at rebellion as well. We're really good at it. We're very good at it. I'm telling you, churches don't split because adults aren't good at rebellion to authority. That's not what causes church to split. People don't leave church mad because they're just so submitted to someone that says, "Hey, listen, this is what the Bible says." Well, honestly, that's not what church splits a church. What splits a church is when people say, "How dare he tell me what the Bible says? How dare he encourage, say that I'm not living right according to the Word of God, or I'm not doing right according to the Word of God." Understand with me, there are things that from a pulpit need to be warned of and need to be instructed, and not every one of them sits right with you. And half the time, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God's having to preach it to me before I get to preach it to you, because I'm the one that needs to get right. Quite honestly. Because I have the same rebellious heart anybody does, and is prone to rebellion. But the reality is this, that we can get down in verse number 9, and we find out this, that we can be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. And it's important for an authority to say, no, we're going to set some guidelines and some barriers, and we're going to have some do's and don'ts, and we're just not going to move these things. This is where we're at, and this is where we're going to stay, and this is where we're going, and this is where our home, Dad, this is where our home is going, and these things are allowed, and these things aren't allowed, and we are going to do this, and we're not going to do that. And I like it now. I got my older kids. I think they do it for spite, but they look at the younger kids and they're always saying, "No, we don't have to do it. We get to do it." You know, praise the Lord. And even though they're doing it to be a snot half the time, I think. But the reality is, though, no, there's some things that we get to do because we love God. Because we love God, and we want that to be the primary focus of our home, is that we're going to love God, and we're going to show God through our actions and through our lifestyle and through the things that we do, that we do love Him. We love Him. And so that's going to curb what we watch on TV, and that's going to curb what we where we do go, and that's going to curb how we treat one another, should curb how we treat one another, and it should cause us to have a desire towards godliness. And you say, well, why would we do that? Because someone needs to rule the home. And the same through the church. Same is true of the church, that sometimes pastor just has to say, you know what? No, we're not going that direction. Well, what? Why? Who does he think he is? Well, he's been one that's been given oversight, according to 1 Peter in chapter number 5. He's one that's supposed to rule, according to Hebrews in chapter number 13, where we are. And so many times, and we looked at this, and we discussed this, and I'll try to move on a little bit, but we discussed in Numbers, we used Numbers 14:2 as just one example where the children of Israel didn't get what they wanted, and their response was, I'll tell you who's wrong, that Moses is wrong. Moses is against us, Moses doesn't care about us, Moses doesn't love us, and time and time again, Israel got to a place where they kind of just wanted to crawl in a corner, suck their thumb, and eat worms. That's just where they got, and feeling sorry for themselves, and woe is me, and pouty this, and pouty that. And I'll tell you what, they needed some discipline. That's what they needed. And the problem is they wanted to blame Moses for all their problems, and the reality that their problem was with God. Moses had not led them into the circumstances they were in. God, by his marvelous, leading, glorious hand, had led them into the positions that they were in because God wanted to help them. And God wanted to grow them. And God wanted to accomplish some great things in them. And listen, God wanted to show them how glorious He was. And until they got to a spot to where they had to look up and go, man, what do we do next? And where are we going to turn? And how is this going to be accomplished? They were never going to be able to see the glory of God. And they were never going to be able to see how amazing and how miraculous God was. And instead of looking to a mom and dad next time life gets hard or you don't get the way you want, why don't you look towards God and find out what God's trying to do in your life? What's God trying to accomplish in your life? And if you would submit yourself unto the Lord, what could God do? Instead of blaming Moses every time something bad happens. Many times we live in a position to where we believe that life is all about us, that life is all about my salvation, that Jesus Christ came to save my soul, and certainly He did. I believe that if I was the only soul on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ would have come for my sinful, wretched soul. He would have done that. But understand with me, the primary purpose of God is not you. It's His glory. And so many times we get that messed up in our head and we start acting very selfish, like everything's about me and everything's about my little circumstance and everything's about where I am right here today. And I'm telling you, throughout all dispensations, throughout all time, throughout all different ages, the purpose that God has been accomplishing is not yours but His. And it's not for your glory, but it's for His glory. So we need to look at our circumstance and wonder why where is God leading and what is God trying to accomplish and why is it that there are things that are going on that are contrary to my desires and my wants and not why is the leadership doing what they're doing, but what is God trying to get me to learn? What's God trying to teach me? Where's God trying to go with this? And where? How can I submit myself under the leading of God? If we learn to submit ourselves to the leadership of God as opposed to our own desire, listen to me. If we learn to yield ourselves to the leadership of God as opposed to our own desire, we might be able to see God actually work in the day and time in which we live. The reality is that we would want to, as a child of God, see Him work, but we prohibit God from being able to work many times because we're upset with God, like the children of Israel, that we didn't get exactly what we wanted. I'm telling you, we better learn that authority has a role. Authority has a place. It has been given of God, and it's not to hurt you, it's to help you. And it's to listen, and it's to bring Him glory. Second of all, move on. That was all 2 weeks ago. But second of all, authority has been given, or the role of authority has given, to protect as a protective watching for your life, as a protective watch for your life. We've been blessed with 5 children. Praise the Lord for each and every one of them. And as we've been entrusted by God to have them in our home, we've also been admonished to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we've been instructed to, you know, we got to feed them. We got to keep clothes on their back, you know, and that's important. They don't run around naked at 16, you know, you know, there's been just things that we've been given responsibility, great responsibility for, and they have they have not always been, all right, and not that we've had huge problems, but they've just not always been just like thinking that dad knows exactly what he's talking about. Just haven't. I mean, and so there's been times when we've said, "Listen, we're not gonna go over to the neighbor's yard," and guess where we find the kids? In the neighbor's yard. You know, and mom says, "Hey, we're going to clean our room," and then we find ourselves out, you know, playing with our toys or painting at the table. Is your room done? What room? You said something? I mean, hey, has the trash been taken out? I wasn't told to take out the trash. Has this been accomplished? Well, I'm just telling you, the reality is that there's certain things you say. Well, what's that have to do with watching, a protective watching? Understand with me, there are going to be times when authority is going to have to say, "Listen, no, we're going to put a fence up over here, and we're not going to cross it. No, we're going to draw a line right here. We need to stay on this side of the line, and we need to be not going outside of these boundaries." And the reality is that when we cross boundaries, there's a lack of protection. There's a lack of protection. I'm telling you, we could go on and on with testimonies tonight of people who have stepped out of the bounds of the authority that God has placed over them and have found themselves in a place that they never should have been, with consequences that they never would have had they been obedient to the boundaries that authorities had established for them. We would have. We go on and on. And it's a reality though that sometimes we as human beings look at fences and we look at boundary lines and we wonder, well, why not? what difference does it make whether we do this or that? What difference does it make? I don't see what the big deal is. I don't see why we need to have this boundary. I don't. And guess what? You might not. But the reality is this, is God didn't put you in the place of authority to set the boundary, did he? He didn't. And authority is going to be one that's going to be looking out ahead. Authority is going to be one that's kind of looking for, looking at maybe some more issues. There are just things year after year, as my kids get older, that I see that my mom and dad did that just make them so much smarter than when I was 14. No, I'm telling you, every year, and as my kids get older, and as I get older, and as, you know, they just come up with, you know, new ideas, I just think more and more, man, my dad, my mom, my dad, they just weren't as dumb as I thought they were at 14. They just aren't. And you say, well, why is that? Well, because now I have to see, well, that's why. Oh, no, now I see why. I think it's important as well. Listen, if you're going to put down some protective boundaries, that you would also say, listen, no, we're not, and here is why. Here is why. It's important for us to have why, and why is not a bad thing. And I just say, mom and dad, you need to know why. You need to know why. And as a pastor, I need to know why. But at the same time, listen, also we need people that are going to be submissive to why. Because sometimes dad would share why, and it just had to go, be dad go, you know what? It's because I'm dad. That's why. Because I don't think, and you say, well, I just don't know about, you know, that. I don't think I can follow that. If you go back in the Old Testament, and I used this illustration before, and I'll use it again, because I think it's very much applicable for why. But you go and study leprosy in the Old Testament, and you go look at the instructions for leprosy in the book of Numbers, and leprosy was to be without the camp, because if leprosy got into the camp, it could infect everybody that's around the camp and in the camp, and it could destroy an entire home. An entire family could die if they allowed leprosy. You say, but we love our loved one that has leprosy. It has nothing to do with how much you love your loved one. We're trying to protect the entire city, and so therefore leprosy was put outside the camp, and it was the high priest that was to be the judge, and they were to come to the priest, and the priest was to look at it. I'm telling you, there's like three chapters going on and on, and say, if it's red and it has a white spot in it, then you need to call it unclean, and they need to go outside the camp. If it has a hair in it, then they need to be unclean, and they need to be put outside the camp. If it's oozy and pussy, they need to be called unclean and put outside the camp, and then they were supposed to go and quarantine themselves outside the camp, and then after a certain period of time, they were supposed to come back to the high priest. And at that point, the high priest had to look at what they thought was leprosy, and he had to make a judgment call. He had to determine, listen, is this leprosy or is it not? Is this going to be good, or is this going to be bad if we go ahead and allow this to come back into the camp? And I'm just telling you, sometimes leadership and authority is simply, I'm talking as a mother and father, as a pastor, at any level of authority. I'm telling you, sometimes there are just judgment calls. And sometimes a high priest would have to look at a child and say, no, dad's going to have to, and a wife, and say, no, dad's going to have to stay outside the camp for a couple more weeks because I'm just not sure. And if you think that was an easy thing to look at Junior and to look at his wife, and I'm just telling you, it's not. And sometimes authority just has to say, yeah, I just, because I want to protect the flock and the whole flock, I'm just going to have to say no. And because I want to protect this home, and I don't know whether, it could be and it could not be. It might be okay. And it might be that dad gets to heaven one day and pastor gets to heaven one day. And God says, you know, maybe you were a little strict on that where you didn't necessarily need to be. But at the same time, if we can say, you know what, I also don't want to just go around and, you know, possibly just spread leprosy on everybody. I mean, I didn't intend to. But I'm telling you, I think it's foolish of anyone not to just stop and just say, you know what, there needs to be some protective actions in place. And some of those, many of those, we can go to the Word of God and say, this is why, according to the Word of God, we have this protective action. And some of it is just left up to, I just don't feel like that's the right thing. I'm not comfortable. I don't have peace about it. I'm telling you, I just do not have the leadership of God on it. And so therefore, I'm going to have to say no. And there's some things that are like that. You say, well, I just don't like it. Well, you cannot like it all day, but it's been given to authority as a place of protection for each and every one of us. And God has always set up authority to protect and to guide us. Adam and Eve, Adam had authority over Eve as her husband because in Genesis 13:16, God said he would rule over her because she was deceived. And therefore in Genesis 3:16, God said, okay, now I'm going to put a husband in authority over you because you were deceived. Thus the first husband, first human authority position in the Bible was given there in Genesis 3:16. Well, why? Because Eve was not subject to God's authority, but deceived. God said, "Okay, I'll put another authority over you." The next position was a role of the parent that God established. And we can look in Genesis in chapter 18 and 19, and we can see how God blessed the home of Abraham and was favorable unto Abraham, because the Bible says in Genesis 18:19. That I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken unto him. And you say, well, what's it mean to command? I mean, that just sounds like very totalitarian verbiage. It means exactly what you think it does. It means that Abraham was going to tell unto his children, And he was going to put them in order. And he was going to give charge. And he was going to bid them. He was going to constitute them. That this is what we will do and this is what we won't do. And just in case you're wondering, I did study it grammatically and I looked it up in the Hebrew. And you can go to the book of Exodus all day long and you'll find out it is the same Hebrew word used in Exodus as it is in Genesis. When God gave commands unto the children of Israel, God was thankful that and blessed Abraham because Abraham was willing to give command. He was willing to lead. And he was willing to tell his children and lead his children and order his children as they should be of God. He was willing to do that. Authority was designed for our protection. It was to be in a position of watching. It was to be there to deter us from harmful things and harmful actions and harmful attitudes. It was. And many times, parents, listen, attitudes need to be addressed. Attitudes just need to be, well, they're doing the right thing, so I mean, no. We need to do the right thing with the right attitude. My spirit matters and your spirit matters and the attitude in which we do things matters. It does. Sometimes we need to stop and go, hey, listen, we need to check our attitudes a little bit. We need to. We need to make sure we're not just being obedient, but that we're also putting off an air of obedience. Especially as an older child, I'm telling you, younger kids pick up on attitude really good. They do. They very much do pick up on it. Moms, kids pick up on your attitude. Dads, wives pick up on yours. They do. And your attitude will run right down a chain of authority to the lowest level, and it can infect an entire church. It can infect an entire home. It can infect an entire workspace. If you decide, I'll do it, but I'm not going to be happy about it. Just doing the right thing is not what we're going for. But listen, one that's going to be in command is one that's going to look at even the attitude in which things are done and say, hey, listen, we're going to do it right, and we're going to do it for the right purpose, and we're going to do it with the right spirit and attitude. It's important that we do that. Thirdly, and that's for our protection. Thirdly, and last tonight, amen, the authority is responsible to give an account of us. An authority is responsible to give an account of us. That means that they're going to have to give an account of what you do. Your boss at work has to give an account to someone about what kind of work you do. Right? They have to give an account for what kind of work you do. Your work does not just reflect on you. It ultimately reflects on him and the company. If the workers are lazy and wasteful, the company will not be profitable. I mean, that's easy to understand. It's very easy to understand that concept. And so a boss that allows them to continue in that kind of spirit is ultimately one that bears the responsibility. And you say, well, what if I lose my job? Well, if he allows you to continue to work that way, you just might lose your job, and he just might lose your job, and the entire company might close down. It is his job to train, to instruct, to motivate, to guide the workers, to be the best workers they can be so that the company is as productive as it can be. The point of the company is not just to give you something to do and to give you a little scratch to go out and have a good time with on the weekend. That's not the point of the company. It doesn't revolve completely around you and around your desires and around what you want. That is not the point of the company. It is to effectively make money for the owners, for the shareholders. Your immediate boss is responsible to them to make each part work right. Therefore, he must give an account of your performance. He must give an account of your performance. And that's why companies maintain yearly reviews and performance reviews. And they take time to get feedback and to look at productivity and all those kind of things. Why? because there's a job that needs to be done. And the more effectively we do our job, the greater benefit is not just going to be the company, but honestly, the greater benefit is going to be for you. No, it's for you. Because, you know, the boss might be interested in you having a job next week, but if the company closes down because nobody's minding the business, then everybody's out of a job. Come on, that's a real easy concept, and really it's a biblical concept. It's a biblical concept. Come on, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves. You mean when the boss tells me to do something I won't want to do? Yes. When dad tells me to do something I don't want to do? Yes. It's a biblical principle. When the pastor, I just don't agree with the pastor. Submit yourself. Submit yourself. I mean, take an account. All right, as our pastor, I'm talking about me. When I say our pastor is trying to lead us to godliness and to the glory of God, or is he doing this for his own selfish good and gain? Consider it. Think about it. And then listen, if the answer is that yes, it is for the glory of God and not to his own selfish gain, then this is what we need to find ourselves doing, is submitting ourselves to it. Would be biblical principle. Is my husband doing this for his own selfishness? Would this be glorifying unto God? Would this be contrary to the word of God? Those are the questions we ought to be asking. And listen to me, honestly. If it wouldn't be contrary to the word of God, submit yourself to it. Submit yourself to it. Well, what's going to happen? Listen, God's going to be able to glorify you, and we've already talked about this, in spite of someone else, if you'll learn how to submit yourself. God, the great judge, will one day sit upon his throne of judgment over us, and our rewards will be based not only upon what we have done, but how we did it, according to Hebrews 13. Look at what it says in the rest of verse number 17. For they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they do it with joy and not with grief. And this is important, for this is, if they do it with grief, this is unprofitable for you. If an authority says, listen, I gave instruction and I warned and I said no when I needed to say no, and I set the boundaries that I needed to set according to your word, and I was watchful and I was protective, and someone says, somebody went outside that anyway, listen, they're going to have to give an account of that. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be a very joyful account. It won't be. You just look in the word of God and you find people that rebelled against authority. And I'm telling you, you're not going to find joyful story after joyful story. That's not what you're going to find in the word of God. But when you find people that are submitted unto God and submitted unto authority, I'm telling you, you'll find joyful story one after another. And Hebrews 13, our earthly authorities will give a report of how we followed orders. They did. I'm just telling you, it's fun to be able to brag on your kids when they're doing well. It is. It's fun. I'm telling you, it's miserable for everybody. It is. It just is. When a parent goes, man, I got a teenager that they're just not doing right. I've got a child that's just not doing right. I'm telling you, nobody sits here and goes, yeah, that's awesome. Nobody. When you have someone who's not submitted under the authorities in their life, I'm telling you, it's just a rotten thing all around. It just is. The issue isn't just what we have done, but how we did it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, and if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. It's important how we do what we do. It's important. And God in heaven does not operate in opposition to the natural laws that he has established here on earth. He does not. Don't think that God commanded us to obey those that are in authority over us just for fun. It's not what he did. He wasn't just doing, hey, I think this would be a fun thing to throw in the Bible. No, this is part of his plan in judging us for reward. No. God cares what we do. He cares how we do it. We must do it lawfully. And I'm telling you, when we stand before judgment and those who are in authority give an account of us. Listen, the person that's going to be rewarded is the one that is done with joy and the one that's done with grief. The one that has to give a report with grief. Listen, it's not unprofitable for that authority. It's unprofitable for the one who is not in subjection to authority. That's who it's not profitable for. And many will fail to receive reward in heaven one day because they are unwilling to strive for the reward of being faithfully. They refuse to submit themselves to their God-ordained authority here on earth, and they will suffer loss one day eternally in heaven. I said in heaven, not hell. No, I'm telling you, there will be Christians that will suffer the loss of reward because of their lack of submission to earthly authority. Consider the end. Listen, consider the end of their conversation. And listen, if I can submit myself, I need to learn submission. Submission, this is the interesting thing. I know we've said this a lot, but I want to remind you. Submission is not about, all right, I agree with that. I can do that. That's not submission. Submission starts when my flesh goes, well, I don't like that. I don't want to take out the trash. I don't think we need to have that boundary. I don't think we need to have that guideline. I don't think this, and I don't think that, and who? No, whoa. Submission starts right there. When I go, okay, wait a minute. Is this about godliness, and is this about the glory of God? Is this against the Word of God? Come on, and if I answer those questions, and the answer is no, it's not against the Word of God. It's just about submission. I'm telling you, I am improving my position in heaven when I just say, you know what, I'm going to submit. I don't like it, but there's a lot of things in life I don't like. Amen. There's a lot of things in life I don't like. I don't like sardines, but listen, for VBS, if it get some kids encouraged, I'll eat a sardine. Maybe that's pragmatic, but I'd eat a sardine if it get a bunch of kids excited. I hope I never have to, but I would, right? No. The question is not about whether I agree with authority. The question is about, do I desire to glorify God? And if I desire to glorify God, then I need to look at, all right, what is the purpose? Is this to glorify God? It is. Is this in the will of God? Is this against the Word of God? It's not. Okay, then I can submit. God's given authority, and authority has a role, and my job is to submit to it. I've got to submit to it. You say, well, you're the pastor. What do you have to submit to? I have to submit to you. Yeah. That's what 1 Peter chapter 5 says. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. There's a submission. Submission just goes both ways. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.